Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We will talk with The Ringer's Shield Kapadia at 3:30 about a great Thursday night matchup, the Lions and the Cowboys tonight. And at 6 o'clock, The Athletic's Robert Mays will spin us around the National Football League. I want to talk about some coaches who could be on warming seats as we close in on the end of the NFL season. As a reminder, we're giving away Leonard Skinner tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. What's up, Danny?
How you doing, dude? So you pointed this out. I wasn't really aware of it until you pointed it out on me. My eyes are really red, and like now they're like a little irritated. So I've got it in my head that like I'm like starting pink eye. That's what's in my mind now. I wasn't thinking anything about it, didn't realize it. I went to the bathroom and looked. They're really red.
So when
it's
you
annoying.
Got here today,
yeah.
The first thing I said to you is, I look up, your eye looks as pink as someone with pink eye. And I said, do you have pink eye? Because that's not one of those come to work with it things.
Right. I don't think I do. Well, but actually, now I don't know. I don't know.
Your left eye looks like you
My
have
left
pink
eye,
eye
Lopez, yeah. I mean, hasn't been any gunk, any of that like nasty, gross stuff that usually comes with the territory.
Could be early in but the
maybe
pink
this
eye
is,
process.
Yeah, maybe this is first stage. I don't know. I mean,
your right eye looks completely fine.
That's the one that's more irritated, ironically. So I don't know, man.
But if it feels irritated on the other side, I actually feel better about the whole thing. Because then it's probably not pink eye in one eye. It's something going on with your system.
Yeah.
Where your eyes are irritated and if they, you know, they're dry or twitchy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But only one of them looks very, very pink.
I mean, it's red.
From here.
It is capitals red.
I'm glad you mentioned the capitals.
Now, a quick gripe. I read the analytics. Shouldn't they have gone for two last night?
They could have wanted to. I don't think it was necessary, though. 7-1 win over the Sharks. 6 straight for the Caps.
Take that.
8 of 9. They've now got the most points of any team in the Eastern Conference. And Ryan Leonard was awesome. Little kid Leno, 2 goals, 4 points. He has helped to fix this power play. They're 4-for-13 on the PP since they put him on it and have gotten it going. Alex Ovechkin, 2 more goals among these 7 last evening. They got the extra point up and through against the Sharks for win number 6 in a row.
And it will come down low into the capital zone. Worked out now to center. Ryan Leonard cuts through, goes to the backhand and scores. What a goal from Ryan Leonard, just dancing through the defense. And the Capitals, the extra point is good. It's 7-0 Washington.
Whatever you have, you just gave John Walton.
I mean, good heavens, poor
what
John.
What was that call? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He called it well. My guy was sick last night, huh? I mean, if they weren't in California, we're going to the bullpen probably. That was a tough go of it. And by the way, he was just doing that all game.
Yeah, that's tough, buddy.
Where's Ken Sabern when you need him? Let's carry the load a little bit here, bud.
I mean, that is hard. I mean, I've been there. It's so frustrating. I'm sure he felt like okay after he was hopped up on the meds and ready to rock and roll. But I've been there. I've been sitting in the chair, and adults have been like, you have to go home. You sound ridiculous.
I had not heard that call until we played it on air. Poor John Walton. But yes, the Caps are on fire. They have played 3 more games than some teams in the East, so that's part of the reason why they have the most points. But they've completely turned their season around now. with their 9 wins in their last 10 and their 6 in a row. Thursday night football tonight's going to be excellent. This is a really, really good matchup. Really important NFC matchup as well. It's got a loser leaves town feel to it, doesn't it? The Cowboys are 6-5-1. You've got zero margin for error here. They've won 3 straight since their bye against the Raiders, and then the best week anybody's had all season, beating the Eagles and the Chiefs within a 5-day span. So now you've got Detroit. Things soften up a little bit on the other side of this, though. They close with Vikings. They'll be favored at home. Chargers at home. Pick'em type game, but I'll bet you they'll be favored. Then at the Commanders on Christmas Day, they should win that one. And at the Giants, if they beat the Lions, Danny, they'd be 7-5-1 with a legitimate chance to get to 11-5-1. And let's say they don't run the table, even still, 10-6-1 could actually get them in.
Might do it, yeah.
They've got to beat Detroit to give themselves a chance to go 3-1 and get some help.
Yeah, it all depends on what other teams do if you're in that space. But I'm telling you, over the last 3 games, since their bye week, there have not been many teams playing better football than them.
You just went in that space. That is a Dan Quinnism, big time. Have you heard him say that before?
No, what did I say? Oh, I don't know what I said.
Saying in that space, like in the space or in that space.
Oh, man.
Like, Rivera had so many. I don't even remember them now. What were Rivera's?
Be where your feet are. Don't draw me a map unless you've been there.
Kind of repeating what he had just said for emphasis.
More so than anything else.
It really is.
It really is.
Like, Danny's my friend. He really is. Okay. But one of the Dan Quinnisms is to say in that space.
I didn't even mean to. It's rubbing off, I'm sure.
Listen for it. You'll hear it a lot.
I'm sure I will. It'll pop up now. But, I mean, they weren't very good to start the game against the Eagles, if you recall. The Eagles choked that one away. Should have won it. They're up 21-0. But since then, and really that the Raiders game coming out of the bye week, they would shit at the Raiders, but who cares? They've played really good football. As you said, they had the best week ever, VH1 style. And they put themselves in a position where they're a team I wouldn't want to play. The way their offense is humming, defensively, they're fine. Not good, but fine, which is good enough. They're dangerous, man. And if they beat Detroit, you said it, 7-5-1 with 3 games left that they'll be favored in, one kind of a coin toss, which you maybe can afford to drop because it's an AFC game. They're in a decent position right now.
Jay makes the case, Jay Gruden, when he comes on with us, the last couple of shows we've done with him the last 2 weeks, that they are the hottest team in the league, basically the team you'd least want to play this week is the Cowboys. I think that's a little overstated and hyperbolic, but I get the point. You just heard Savannah mention in the update that George Pickens is playing tonight. So with him on one side and CeeDee Lamb on another and a tight end who can stretch the field in the seam and a run game that's pretty strong behind a good offensive line and a quarterback playing at an MVP level, have fun against that offense if you're Detroit's defense. Now, the flip side of this is the Lions, who have gone boy, girl with their wins and losses for the better part of 2 months. Dating back to October 12th, this is how what they've done. Lost, then won, then had a bye week, then lost, then won, then lost, then won. Then lost every other game. So they're due to win, I guess. That's the good news. But they'd better. If they fall to 7-6 with the Rams coming up, you're looking at 7-7 with 3 to play and bad tiebreaker metrics going into a gotta-have-it 3 wins and needing help. This is an elimination game of sorts, it kind of feels like, for the Lions. You'd have to run the table after this otherwise. That's why I'm going loser leaves town here. Somebody is going to be dealt a hand they probably can't overcome tonight.
Yeah, for the Lions, I think especially, given what's happened in that division, and as you said, they dropped a game or two they probably shouldn't have. Tough schedule, but even still, with the 2 teams ahead of them and the NFC West, the third-place team has 9 wins. That's San Francisco. They're 9-4, a half game back of the co-leaders, the Rams and the Seahawks, because they've played one more. The math doesn't work great. You can't have two divisions with 3 teams getting in. That's a really, really, really tough road that they have left. Their best path is probably to, you know, get to the top of that division or leapfrog a team in Green Bay that's beaten them a couple of times and is basically 2 games ahead of them at this point. Not easy.
No Sam Laporta. Looks like no Amon-Ra St. Brown. No Khalif Raymond. No Brock Wright. So you're down 2 receivers, 2 tight ends, and Jared Goff playing behind a super banged up offensive line needs to be great tonight. What a challenge for him. Good news is you're at home, indoors, on carpet, but a lot of Jameson Williams, I'm guessing, in that passing game. I wanted to start locally on the Commanders front with your update today coming from Ashburn. Cliff Kingsbury met with the media. Before I get to the comment he made and what we wanted to talk about, has Cliff had a better year than we've given him credit for, do you think? We were beating up on him pretty good 2-3 weeks ago. The offense has started to turn it around a little bit as they've gotten healthier. And you take inventory now and you kind of take a step back, look from 10,000 feet, and you say, how sure are we that he hasn't gotten a lot of juice out of an orange that didn't have much? I mean, if really this was all about injuries, and you look at where they're ranked now, it's not like he had a terrible season as a coordinator. I've been frustrated with some things. My problem right now with their offense is that Kliff just refuses to adapt to some of the things around the league that are very successful. I think they need to be under center more. I think they need to go 12 and 13 personnel, play action, roll in the pocket, boots more. He doesn't really have any interest in doing that, and so this is just what it's going to be. You're going to line up and gun. You're going to occasionally be in pistol. You're going to run spread and do the horizontal raid. But if you look at some of the numbers, they're number two in the red zone with all the weapons that they haven't had at times this year. In terms of overall rankings, they're 11 in EPA per play. They're 12 in yards per play. They're 13 in third downs. They're 10th in fourth downs. I think a lot of coordinators in this league would have had worse numbers with the cast that they've been operating with and a backup quarterback starting for half of the season than Kingsbury's had.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Just given what we saw last year and how good it was, this is certainly a big step back from that, and you went through the reasons why. Yards per play, they actually come off pretty well. They're tied for 12th with a handful of teams that are right in that bucket, which is
to me, among non like deep dive analytics, that's the best stat. You line up, how many yards do you get on any given play?
Yeah, and they're pretty middle of the pack in that regard. And given, as you said, no Terry McLaurin for 80% of their games, no Austin Eckler for most of it, very little weaponry at times, backup quarterback, everybody kind of being on to you, no deep threat of any sort. Yeah, that's actually not too bad. It's the points that I think really kind of screw them. Like, they haven't scored. Even though they've moved the ball decently well, even without, again, with all the usual caveats, if you were middle of the pack in all those numbers, if you were, say, 17th in points, I'd go, yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of a corollary. I think they're 24th in points scored as an offense.
Phenomenal in the red zone, though.
Once they get there, yeah.
So that tells you a couple things. I think they've had more long drives to go on because of their defense.
Yep. No, and no turnovers, no short fields ever.
Never short fields.
Yep.
Because you don't get any takeaways, and when you do, it's almost never in plus territory. But to the other side of that token, I guess, their return game is great. Kick returns, specifically punt returns to a lesser extent, but I mean, they're one of the best kick return units in the NFL and one of the best starting field position units in that regard in the league. Almost every single week, they've got a drive starting past the 40-yard line or something like that. So maybe you give some, you lose some there. But I would say overall, while I have my annoyances and things that I wish Kliff did a little bit differently, and when it's going well, they don't matter, and when it's not, you get a little more frustrated. It's like a marriage. It's like when you're having one of those weeks where you're just in a bad mood, all of a sudden, the thing that, your husband not doing the dishes maybe bothers you a little more. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And right now I'm going, come on, man. We can't ever get under center. We can't run any plays like all the good offenses do in the league. But if you just told me no Terry McLaurin almost all season, no Noah Brown almost all season,
you're going to suffer, yeah.
Debo's going to be banged up for the better part of a month where he's not quite himself. No Austin Eckler as your outlet. Really, the only area that's going to be unimpeded by injury in any way on the depth chart is the offensive line. There's going to be some flux there at left guard anyway. And you're going to be just outside of the top 10 in offense with 5 weeks to go and Jaden Daniels played half of the season. I would have signed up for that sight unseen. I wouldn't have said, no, let me see what's behind the other door. That is an easy sign up for that spot.
I would say so. I mean, again, given all the dramatics around, given everything that's gone as bad as it possibly could have, you're right. On a binary, I would have signed up for that. Where, hey, am I middle of the pack on offense for the most part? I'd say yes, and let's see how will I stay afloat. Again, the thing we talk about a lot is if their defense was just regular, not good. Not even talking about good. Not even mediocre. Not even average. If it was regular, not good, in the low 20s with an occasional turnover, they probably win two more games at some point,
at least.
Or they're not getting blown up by 25 each and every week, right? For a month plus.
Complimentary football is not a thing that you get to benefit from if you're Kliff Kingsbury either, to that point.
No.
Every coordinator in the league knows, on both sides of the ball, I'm not just talking offense here, but you are made better by the guy in the building coaching the other side of the ball, or you're made worse by that person. Sometimes I think that their defense has it harder because of their tempo, because Cliff Kingsbury's not in the huddle. By the way, their percentage of non-huddle plays is so much higher than anybody else's. It looks like it belongs on a Saturday. And I kind of like no huddle, but they do it even to the extreme more than I would. But their tempo can put a team in a bind. I remember one time talking to Kyle Shanahan about this years ago when he was the OC here. And I brought him some numbers, and I'm like, hey, help me with this. And I showed him what Washington's offense was doing with tempo as opposed to not with tempo. And I'm like, here's what you guys are doing with tempo. It was one of the highest rated everything in the league.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, here's what you're doing when you're not using tempo. It was not good. And I said, but you're doing it at this rate. And it was middle of the pack at best. I don't remember all the specifics. And I remember him saying to me, like, yeah, I love it. Like, I want to do more of it. But right now, we don't have a defense that can survive if we're out there going three and out potentially and giving the ball right back to an offense.
And our whole drive takes literally 1 minute. We can't do that.
And I just remember thinking, okay, so they know they could be better on offense if they did it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But they think that overall, the product for the team might suffer from that. And it does feel like Washington, at least from a play calling, tempo, no huddle standpoint, is going, everything else be damned, let's turn up the faders as best we can on what's best for the offense sometimes. And I think that makes it harder on a bad defense.
I think that's true. But my only counter to the counter, and it's a good point, is it's not as if they're always snapping it with 25 seconds left on the play clock, right? They can go no huddle, but how many times does the referee walk up to the line of scrimmage and go, I'm the letter T, everyone has to wait, and they're still snapping it fairly low. They're just not huddling in between.
I'd have to look this up. The last time I looked, they ran the fastest time between plays in the league.
For the most part, they do.
By a bunch.
And there's no question about that.
Yeah.
They're if they're not up there, the third or fifth. I mean, the point is they go fast. But it's not every, like, their three and outs usually don't take that. Like, there were years at Buffalo, for example, when they were so good out of the K-gun with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and company. They were like, we're awesome in the two-minute drill. We're incredible. We got a maestro here. We got weapons galore. We're so good when we play hurry up. Let's just play hurry up all the time. And the rare occasion it would go bad, their three and outs would be, they'd be done in 45 seconds. And the defense, you know, Bruce Smith and Daryl Talley and all the guys would come right back on the field. That's, you know, I don't think that happens that often with this offense is kind of my point.
They're 12th, just outside of the top 10 in percentage of drives, by the way, that are three and outs. You'd like to be lower there if you're going to operate with the tempo they do to that point in terms of helping the defense. But look, we wanted to get into Laramie Tunsil. We got a lot of show in front of us and some runway to do that. So we will get into what Cliff Kingsbury said about the big left tackle and the fact that he's going to break the bank probably this offseason or next because he's one of the better pass protectors in football. It's an interesting comment from Kingsbury for a guy who might need an extension from Washington this offseason. But I actually want to double-click on Kingsbury because it's been a while since we have taken the temperature of our audience on him. And it did seem like his approval rating was dropping, like everybody in the building, over the last several weeks. As you lose, that happens. And as your side of the ball, in his case, gets less effective, that happens. But I do think, maybe you can call it reactionary or recency or whatever after they had a good game against the Broncos. I just think if you look at the totality now of 12 football games, even as we're sitting here and they've lost 7 in a row and 8 of 9, I do feel like he has actually done a good job with the hand he's been dealt this year. And I wonder if people agree with that first. 800-636-1067. And just where are you at on Kingsbury? Like, we've had callers that have called up and said, I kind of hope he gets a head coaching job.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he was to leave.
If he got a head coaching job, that'd be awesome because then you could run a NFL offense like what Seattle's doing with Darnold, you know, one of those Shanahan-type offenses under center. I'd like to have my cake and eat it too, where I'd like Kingsbury to be here for the continuity that comes with the same offense for 3 years with your quarterback that is massive for a young developing player. But I would also like to incorporate more of those other things. There's no reason he can't or shouldn't be willing to do that. And if he doesn't want to do it to the offseason, that's fine. But I remember the Ben Standing piece where this guy watches every single play of every single NFL game and every single Power 5 college football team in the offseason every year to try to find new creative things to do. Well, do that.
Yeah, he adjusts, but he's very slow to adjust. He does.
I don't know if he does. I mean, yes, as much as any coach does. But I would not say that that is a trait I would describe Cliff Kingsbury with, as saying, like, he is willing to, you know, he's malleable. I would say the opposite.
Well, it's fair, but I guess my point is, the reason everybody brought up correctly, by the way, the Cliff was he would do incredibly well as an offense for 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, whatever. Then defenses, presumably, would figure something out, and he wouldn't change. When we're screaming last year, when Jaden was busted up, they played good defenses, the offense wasn't the same, Terry's just trotting out to the left, there's no motion, there's no change, and there's no nothing. Eventually, he did it. My point is, it takes a lot. You got to get punched in the mouth a lot of times. You go, okay, fine, if I walk into the guy's right hand, he's going to punch me in the mouth. I'll do something different. He does it eventually, but he's not quick to change, I would say.
How is this season affected, positively, negatively, if at all, how you feel about Kingsbury? 800-636-1067. And then what is your interest in year three, which looks likely, and it's certainly a good thing in a lot of ways, but are you interested at all in what could be behind another door? Like, if he were to leave as a head coach, would part of you say, it stinks a little bit, but this could actually be okay? 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for listening to the show. Shil Kapadia of The Ringer at 3:30 to talk NFL football with us. And at 4 o'clock today, 90 minutes from now, somebody listening is going to win tickets to a show, Leonard Skinner, this summer in D.C. But we started out talking about Kingsbury's press conference today, kind of stumbled into a discussion about where we're at on Kingsbury after year two. And we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. I actually think this is one of those situations where, like, if I was a teacher, before I got out the calculator, punched in all the numbers to find out your grade, I bet you I would, in this particular case with this student, I would say, oh, I bet you he's going to have a C. And then I punch it in and he's got like a B squarely or a B plus or something. I'm like, oh, he had a better semester than I thought.
Oh, I know what you mean, where it's like my impression isn't that great, but then when I actually look at it,
And then I think about the context of it all and all the injuries. I think he's done a pretty good job. But for all of my complaints, and I know they have been loud occasionally, and they will continue to be until this thing is humming, I just don't think he does enough of the stuff that I really, really, really like and want to see. And it's not just my own proclivity, that's some of it, but it is also what works with the really good offenses in this sport. Dan Orlovsky is a disciple of this. You know, if you're not under center, if you're not marrying your run game to your pass game from being under center in 12 and 13 personnel, I just think you're missing the boat. And he just doesn't do a lot of that. So that's going to be my frustration, probably in perpetuity. But I think it's a bigger deal to have continuity with the quarterback than anything else is. When you have a good, and he is a good, maybe even a really good, offensive coordinator. So my number one preference would be that he comes back and keeps as many of the assistants on this staff as possible. That's my number one priority. Beyond that, number two would be, okay, if he leaves, is that devastating? I think it's a big deal. I think it's a huge loss. It might not be the disaster that it would have been a year ago at this time, probably, but it would be a significant blow, especially because maybe Tavita Pritchard takes one or two guys with him from down the pecking order to Stanford, and then Cliff takes one or two guys with him, and you're losing somewhere between four and six assistants, you know, counting those two guys this offseason. That's very possible, and you're kind of rebooting again with Daniel. So the continuity is my number one priority, and I think he's good. So my feelings on him are still very positive. Like, I've never, if polled on approval rating, I would have never bubbled in disapprove on Cliff Kingsbury still. And I wouldn't as I sit here today.
Yeah, I think that's the way to put it. I mean, the offenses that are flying high this year, a lot of them are doing it one way. Last year, two offenses met in the Super Bowl that didn't do it that way. I think the league is cyclical and changes and moves. And there are concepts, though, that make a lot of sense. By the way, here's what makes a lot of sense. One play should look like the other play until it's not. That's pretty good. I would subscribe to that. That's the easy code for that is under center. You can get some run mixed with pass, and they look identical, etc. When it's going well, you could still do some of that from the pistol. I think you could still do some of that from the shotgun, but I think it's harder, and it's been proven harder this year.
I would say no to the shotgun, definitely to the pistol. I think the shotgun idea has been debunked. Pistol is not that different, maybe, from under center, according to some of the experts. I can buy some of that. But the two teams last year, you're referencing Chiefs-Eagles.
Yeah.
Both of them do the under-center stuff more this year.
Everyone's adapted.
It's trending in that direction.
Yes, that is the trend.
Almost everybody. Washington is not getting that memo.
No, but there have been, we've seen a million trends in this league. The Wildcat was the trend. That was impossible to stop. The zone read was impossible to stop until it wasn't. I mean, there adjustments get made. This is a push and pull. Now, it used to be like, oh my God, you need to have five wide receivers on the field at all times. Well, now it's like, you know what's a great advantage is having a tight end that can run and block or pass catch and block. Now you can knock nickels into next week. But I digress. So to me, I'm still generally pretty positive on Cliff Kingsbury. I think if you give him the appropriate armaments, that's an offense that's impossible to deal with. And they didn't have that this year. And I think he was hamstrung. I think there was nothing on that play sheet for a few weeks that he could have called that would have done an awful lot. When nobody's afraid of you. Again, when they played Dallas, that was an objectively terrible defense. Same with Chicago. They were both made to look really strong because there was no threat. And there was no design threat that Kingsbury could come up with because they didn't have a horse, they didn't have a weapon, whatever you want to call it, that scared defenses enough to back off. When you are not afraid of a huge dimension of a modern offense, there's a reason everybody started going to these two deep shells. Everybody started playing quarters or cover three to back off because they're terrified of getting beat over the top. They were like, enough of these highlights. We're going to make people matriculate. If you take that ability away, everybody's not playing on their heels, not playing flat-footed, is attacking down to the line of scrimmage, which they were against Washington. You can't run it, and you can't really throw it.
My one concern about him is still adaptability and just willingness to shift into something else, literally and figuratively, I guess.
It's mine, too. But
the Rams, the Bears, some of these teams, if you look at the personnel groupings they used in September versus now, it's just so different. Sean McVay will go from a couple of weeks where they don't have three tight ends in a game to having 82% 13 personnel or whatever. Like, that's not a thing here. It is just kind of what you see is what you get. And that's probably not completely fair. I mean, there are weeks where they'll come out and jumbo, and they do that, I think, with the extra offensive lineman at one of the highest rates in the NFL. There are wrinkles for sure, but it seems like he wants to run his thing. And even at a time when you were completely beleaguered at receiver, yeah, but you had your tight ends, they didn't seem to lean more into tight ends.
Yeah, remember We Are Marshall, the Matthew McConaughey vehicle?
Of course.
And then so he's like, what do we do with our bad personnel? And he like went to Bobby Bowden and was like, teach me the veer. Like, there was a point where he's looking at it and going, we don't have the animals. We don't have the horses here. We don't have the studs. What can we do to try to compete? I don't feel like Kingsbury did that. I'm with you on that.
Let's go to Joe, who's in Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, I think I feel pretty good about Cliff still. I think that, you know, personnel-wise, what's happened with the injuries, obviously, with Jaden and Terry, are going to hurt any team. And I think my one hope is that maybe nationally people view him in a worse way so we don't end up losing him. I think an underrated loss this year that really hurt his offense, that I guess I feel like not a lot of people are talking about, is that I feel like the loss of Eckler early on really made the offense less dynamic. And maybe even a smaller sense, losing Zacchaeus in free agency. I just think those two things made the offense less dynamic outside of obviously losing Jaden and Terry.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Yep.
But we've talked about this through the lens of Daniels a bunch. How about through the lens of the play caller? Look at the guys that caught all the passes last year. None of them played the majority of this season. It was McLaurin, Deami Brown, Olamide Zacchaeus, Austin Eckler. Zach Ertz is the only guy that's actually been on the field routinely this year of the top five. And then you could even go down the board with like Jamison Crowder and some of those other guys. It's been a complete turnover. Let's go to Carl in Fort Washington on Grant and Danny. How you feeling about Kingsbury?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Very nice.
We
thank
appreciate
you.
You.
Call. Appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
Give him hooray! Give him hooray!
Thank you. Thank you. I'm with a lot of people right now saying that Kingsbury is fine. I think Kingsbury is fine, too. I agree with a lot of people's arguments that it's the injuries. Only so much can be said about injuries. I want to go to the point you guys are saying about making adjustments. Kingsbury runs a lot of, you know, shotgun, not a lot of under center. And I want to ask you guys a question, whether or not that's him not adjusting or that's him deferring too much to the system that his quarterbacks prefer.
It's a great question.
Thank you.
Really, really good question. I don't know the answer. Here's how I'll answer it. Best I can, and this is a guess. I assume Daniels is way more comfortable doing the thing he's always done.
Yeah, he's done it the most, yeah.
That's a reasonable assumption, right? So there might be something to that where you go, I'm just going to keep him in the gun. That's what he likes. That's what he knows. He played at this incredible level last year, and it worked, and getting him under center more often, it wasn't necessary. And now, in the flow of the season, it's a little more complicated. But to that, I would say, do you think Caleb Williams would have been more comfortable if Ben Johnson didn't shove the whole playbook down his throat and say, you're now going to throw to the middle of the field in pop passes, out of play action, on five-step drops, and we're going to be under center a ton? And by the way, they wore it in training camp. He looked like poop. You know, they wore it in the preseason. Like, there's viral videos of him throwing to the wrong areas and all. But guess what Ben Johnson did? He said, this is how it works in this league. This is where you're going to need to be. It's like the old Robert Griffin debate you and I would have, or so many people had, where my point is they did the thing that was great for Robert Griffin and the offense to have the most success right away, and they were going to little by little break off a piece and hand it to him on his plate to eat to get him better as a pocket passing, real-life NFL quarterback winning from the pocket. That's not what the Bears did with Caleb Williams. You know, that's not what Bo Nix is doing in Denver. Like, these coaches are going, all right, here's what you're going to learn. Would it be more comfortable? Absolutely. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. That was one of the first comments Ben Johnson said when he got to Chicago. And he's kind of lived by that. And this is one of the ways, I think, where he chose
it pays dividends, yeah.
Lack of comfort for the betterment of the development. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
I have a rare day where I can catch the whole show live and comment. So, listen, I appreciate what Kingsbury's done. I think he's been the best offensive coordinator this team has had in quite some time. That being said, I'm not moving heaven and earth to keep him. And it's for the very reason that you mentioned, Grant, and that is for as young a guy he is, he seems very set in his ways and only wanting to run his one style of offense. I mean, I don't want to compare him to Joe Gibbs because that's done too often in this town. But the thing about Gibbs is people think he ran the same offense for 15 years. He didn't. That team was different each time they went to the Super Bowl. They still always were run-based, but, you know, under Doug Williams and Rippon, they aired it out a lot more. You know, they had a split backfield by committee one year instead of having, you know, the workhorse. Gibbs knew how to adapt and update to keep with the times and the personnel he has on the field. I don't think I see Kingsbury adapting his offense or molding his offense around what the players do best. Instead, I think he's trying to get them to conform to the offense he wants to run. And I'd rather have a guy who is more adaptable and, you know, creates more dynamics. And like the under center thing, it's not about being under center. It's about giving the defense as many different looks as possible to be held accountable for.
Right.
I like that transition.
Defend.
Yeah.
You're turning your back to the defenders. You could do that a little bit in pistol, but I don't think it's as long. And that's what defenders will tell you is the problem. I think it's also a lot easier to marry play action pass to the run when you're doing it from under center with some of the boot action and the things you could do on stretches, some of the pop passes I talked about where you're dropping 3 and 5 and, you know, all of a sudden you got the dig coming behind the linebacker that you just don't see a lot of in this offense. It's a good phone call. I want to get into that next, though, with you. So let's tackle this, and if you're on hold, we'll get to 800-636-1067. But let's spin this thing into that direction of the conversation, which is, do you view Kingsbury as intractable? And maybe the better question is he doing this because he thinks this is what's best for Daniels? Maybe he doesn't think doing it the other way would work with Daniels or would be as successful? Or do you think he's doing this because this is his style? You know, he doesn't want to deviate away from the thing he knows best and what makes him comfortable. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's the best compliment you can give a coach is maximize your players by doing the thing that makes them great. And if he's doing this for that reason, it's probably actually a really good thing. But if it's the opposite of that, and Daniels could excel in the other way, and you're not doing these other things that work around the league because it's just not the way you've always done
it. Yeah, I like it this way. Like, I love a good defensive coach that's got a high-flying offense where he's like, listen, it's not what I want to do, but by God, we're so good at this, I have to deal with it.
It's like green flag versus red flag, depending on what that's the right. reality is mm-hmm. here. So which one is it? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck.
Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Danny on the Fan. Tomorrow, Field Trip Friday returns. We are at Craft House in Reston from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. We expect Reston to do what they've always done. Take care of their guys. Show up and show out. I know the lads have lost 7 in a row. I know.
We all know.
That the locals are now 3-9. This is not the way any of us drew it up. But that's not going to stop us from having a good time. We're going to Minnesota. We're flying out on Saturday. So let's get together, talk some ball, have a little fun. Craft House, Reston tomorrow.
That is the plan. Craft House has been very good to us over these couple of years. We've had some really good memories there before some really fun games. And this is another game also. But the fun, it will be had.
So the question that was brought up, we're talking Cliff Kingsbury, and a caller said, does he do it like he does? Because it's better for Jaden Daniels. It's what he's more comfortable doing. It's what he's always done. Or does he do it because he's intractable? I think it's a great question. I'd love to know the answer. We do have the evidence of how they operate with Marcus Mariota, which is that they don't really change anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look at percentages. And I don't know where to find this by quarterback, if I'm being honest. It does, for me, anecdotally feel like there are more times when they're under center, and it's not very often, and they do that bootleg thing with Marcus Mariota. But he's also just played a lot more over the last dozen weeks of football.
Yep.
So I obviously am going to remember more of those. Percentage of plays under center, Daniels versus Mariota, I wonder what that would look like. But also with Mariota.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He's also a guy that in his entire college career at Oregon and throughout his entire NFL career has lived in the gun. So I don't know that that is evidence that helps us or answers the question. Because if you're calling plays the way you do and formations the way you do because that's what Daniels likes, well, that's also probably what Mariota likes.
Who was the analyst that we had on who said the reason to go out of the shotgun all the time was to emphasize the quarterback run game? Do you remember who that was? It was like 6 weeks ago. It was a while back.
Yes.
Somebody smart. I don't know if it was a Frank Schwab or the guy that invented DVOA. I can't remember.
It was Robert Mays coming on today. He was on like a month ago. And I asked him, should they be under center more? And he said, the only reason you go under center more often, like, basically, if you have a quarterback who can run, living in the gun or living in pistols, not a bad idea.
And that's what's haunted me since, is if the reason for all of this is to emphasize the quarterback run game, then that's not a good enough reason for me. Now, there are compelling reasons to line up in the shotgun. That is, I don't want my young quarterback ever turning his back on the football field because I want him to be able to read and process everything at all times and see where defenders are, see tendencies, see movement. I don't like the idea of him turning his back. It's really hard, for example, this is not the same.
He turns his back in pistol anyway.
Right, but in a shotgun, it's far less. You never have to take your eyes off the defense. This is not the same, I understand that, but I'm just trying to illustrate the point. Our little 7 and 8-year-olds playing flag football, when you have them fake a handoff and they turn around, it takes seconds for them to turn back around, see the field, figure out who's open, and by then, what was open isn't anymore. Whereas if they can look at things, it happens much more quickly. That's an extreme example, of course. I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels plays like an 8-year-old, but it's illustrative. You could see the challenge of turning your back. Again, there are trade-offs to that. There could be really good things. Those are reasons I'd like to hear and be interested in. If it's, I need my quarterback to run, nope, right away, tear that up and throw that out.
Yeah, I differentiate between gun and pistol on this conversation big time. Like, I think living in shotgun, which obviously you guys know this, but just if there's anyone out there who's like, what's the difference? Pistol, you've got the back behind you, and so you're still getting that angle where you're turning your back to the defense. The entire point of running from under center, there's a lot of them, but one of the benefits is when you're dropping back, Danny's kind of thing that he doesn't like, when you're not looking at the defense, they can't see the ball, and it slows them down, right? when you're in traditional shotgun with a running back next to you, you have this mesh point thing where very quickly you put it in their stomach and you pull it out. It's not the same amount of time where they're confused or don't know what's happening. It's a way smaller time. Now, you can make the argument, and some people do, that in pistol, that it works the same way. I still think there are great benefits to being under center.
There definitely are.
Based on where the back is, you're still, it takes longer to get back to the line of scrimmage. They're so deep. The timing, marrying up play action, is still better under center. But shotgun is, I don't want to say it's dead to me, but it's not like I would never do it. But majoring in shotgun to me is the worst of the three. Like if we're playing blink, marry, kill, or whatever the game is,
yeah.
Like shotgun gets killed every time.
Yeah.
I will, you know, the number two is going to be pistol, but under center is number one. Let's go to Jeff in Woodbridge. What's up, Jeff?
Hello, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Thanks,
Happy
buddy.
Holidays.
You too, buddy.
You as well.
Thank you. 2 points. First of all, I think it's hard to underestimate how bad the current situation is as far as his not being able to adjust more, number one, because of the injuries, and two, because of the complementary football. I mean, the defense is so bad. I mean, you're just at risk constantly of putting them in a worse position if you have the occasional three and out. And so I think he has had to adjust, just not in the way we'd like to see it, you know, because of he's been hampered.
That's a good point.
Second point. I think the most important thing is the development of Jaden Daniels. And you know, here's a guy that's had Johnny Manziel and Patrick Mahomes, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels. And you know, you could take a lot of – I mean, they were all very extremely successful during the time he was coaching them. And the guy knows how to develop a quarterback. You could have had – how many quarterbacks have you seen drafted in the first round that are, you know, out of the league in a year or two because of how they were handled?
Yeah, and I mean, I think Daniels probably, regardless of who was coaching him, would have been okay. But I think your point's correct, which is he's got a great track record with quarterbacks, which is one of the reasons the team was intrigued.
That's why
he
got a head
him.
Coaching gig.
Exactly, and he'll get another one, and he deserves to get another one at some point based on what he's done with Daniels. I think that's very well said. All right, next we'll do two things. Laremy Tunsil's due for a payday. It could be coming this offseason, and I think you guys will be intrigued to hear what Kingsbury had to say about paying him. It was a pretty fascinating comment today. Plus, which NFL head coaches are in trouble as we barrel down the stretch of this NFL regular season? Whose seats are getting hottest? That's next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.